Good morning. You are listening to WHUS Stores 91.7. Thank you very much for listening. We are here. I am actually here for the radio naturopath, Dr. Fran Storch. This is Ron, and I will be your DJ today because Fran was unable to make it. She has something very pressing that she had to be at, so unfortunately she won't be here today. So we're just going to kind of do something a little bit different today with a guest that we have today, which is very nice. We have a guest in the house. Our guest is Eagle Moon Rays. Eagle Moon, can you tell us a little something about yourself?
I'm excited to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, that's great. Yeah, Fran told me that you were going to be on today, which was a relief because otherwise I'd be here trying to figure out how to do this all by myself, which is not
my together.
Specialty. So here we are.
We're all in it together.
All right. So obviously you are tied into the holistic healing, natural medicine business.
Correct.
Okay. And what is it exactly that you do?
Well, like everybody's life, it's a journey once you start awakening. I primarily right now am focusing on using hypnosis with young people. But my journey started with hypnosis in the early 80s when I lived in England. And I found it really simple. And I really loved it. And then, life goes on. And in the 80s, late 80s, I got married and then had kids. And then I started awakening in a different way. Once I stopped drinking, and I started to awaken to parts of me that I've kept subdued from drinking alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not a great idea to drink alcohol when you're pregnant.
Probably not. No.
So what happened was once I had my first child, my life totally changed. And women who've had babies and midwives will tell you that when you're pregnant and you're carrying a soul, it's like you're closest to the spirit world, and you're close to the final stages of life and the beginning of stages of life. And so what I found myself when I was pregnant and then as a new mom, really awake to the spirit side of life. And as I was awakening into the spirit side of life, having this really bright and alive soul child, I started to look at the world and how I wanted to be in the world, how I wanted to be as a human being. And that led me to the Avatar course. And I did the Avatar course in the early 90s. And then that led me to explore other things like Reiki, and I became a Reiki master, and I taught a lot of people locally Reiki. And then the Melchizedek method of training, I got very interested in that, became a holographic healer, and watched extraordinary healings taking place. And then I've got interested in various modalities. I started studying hypnosis, and I found hypnosis to be a really interesting blend of everything that I do. And in 2006, I made four CDs. I made a CD called For Self-Love. I made a CD for parents called Surrender, Step Into the Flow. I made a CD for teens called Your Masterpiece, Your Life. And I made a CD for people that wanted to recreate their body image. And in the process of making those CDs, there was a unique technology that was given to me from my higher self, for lack of a better word. You know, that higher wisdom that we have access to. Mm-hmm. And then I had the opportunity, after making those four CDs, which are available in local libraries. I've donated them locally. So if you're curious, you just look up my name at the library and you'll see them. So I had the privilege of making my first customized subliminal hypnosis program for A.J. Pollock the day before he went to Notre Dame. For those of you who don't know who A.J. Pollock is.
No, I don't.
He's extraordinary. He grew up in the Marlboro Hebron area, so he went to RAM, Andover Regional and Hebron, Andover and Marlboro school. And he was a really amazing baseball player. And his mom showed up one day at our Reiki share. And we weren't going to turn her away. She didn't do Reiki, but Reiki shares are for people that do Reiki, and we do Reiki on each other.
Oh.
But she showed up, and, you know, I thought, well, she's here for a reason. I'm sure it's an important reason. She wouldn't just show up if she wasn't guided here for some reason. So we had her stay. We taught her what Reiki, didn't teach her Reiki, but we allowed her to experience Reiki with us. And she started, she used Reiki, she became trained. And A.J. Pollock's junior year, he had a broken foot. And he, junior year of high school, and he was having difficulty with his foot. It was not healing. And he tried lots of different modalities. Nothing was really working. And all the schools that were looking at A.J. pulled out. And the one school that wasn't really looking at AJ to recruit was Notre Dame. So his mom started to do Reiki on AJ, and AJ started to heal. And I had the privilege of watching this incredible adventure with this young man.
So his mom, who was not trained, but
she did become trained.
Oh, okay.
She did become trained. So once she became trained, she started doing Reiki on AJ, and his foot healed, his game changed, and Notre Dame came into his life. And they gave him a scholarship. He went to Notre Dame. And the day before he went to Notre Dame, his mom asked if I would make him a customized subliminal hypnosis program. And the way it works is with this CD that I was making, and this was our experiment. He was in the recording studio with me, and I had his music. He loved the music from Spirit, the cartoon with the horses.
Yep.
And so I used that music, and under the music came the Reiki energy that he needed. So I chant the symbols, carrying the energy into the program. Then there's imprint removals. And what an imprint is it's an idea that we receive from being in the world, whether it's school, coaches, parents, the media, whatever. We pick it up because it comes from an authority. And it could be anything from, you're so stupid, you'll never learn anything, which we don't know that we're operating from. And what I put under the program is numerous imprint removals so that he wasn't under the effect of those imprints any longer. And this is kind of a universal thing. We are under hypnosis quite a bit during the day. And this is something that people are not aware of.
Yeah, you need to explain this.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
So imagine, how do you feel when you ride your bike?
Oh, I'm in my world.
You are, right?
Yeah, I'm in my world.
You're in hypnosis, actually, as well.
Yeah, I'm in my element. I'm in my world. So I guess I could see that. Yeah.
So we're in hypnosis quite a bit during the day. Adults, anywhere between, depending on who they are and their character, anywhere from 80% to 85% can go into 90% of the day. Kids, standard between 90 and 95% of their day, they're in a natural state of hypnosis. Kids are imaginative. That's a state of hypnosis. Huh. Now, I'm not talking, you know, there are various stages of hypnosis, but a natural state of hypnosis is when our conscious mind is quieted and our subconscious mind is alert. So we're kind of in the zone. When we go on long trips and we're driving, you kind of zone out. You might forget your exit. You're in a hypnotic state. When you're reading a good book and you get lost in the good book, you're in hypnosis. When you're getting lost on Facebook, Instagram, social media, you're in a hypnotic state. And when you're in a hypnotic state, your reasoning, your critical factor is quieted, and your subconscious mind, which takes everything literally, is alert. So somebody could say to you, you are so stupid, you'll never learn anything. And you, your subconscious mind will take it on as a fact. So if you're not aware that you are picking up imprints and you're not aware that you are in a light state of hypnosis throughout your day, you're subject to these imprints that are bombarding us day and night all day.
Okay, so so but you're actually now, are you trained to put people into hypnosis? Are you are you trained to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
How does one go about doing that?
It's really fun, actually. So to hypnotists, all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. Nobody is going to take over your mind. Your mind is your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't do something to somebody under the state of hypnosis without their willingness, right?
Okay, okay.
So therefore, all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. So there are states and techniques that hypnotists have for bringing people into hypnosis very quickly, very slowly, very deeply. People can be guided into hypnosis to have surgery. In fact, prior to chemical anesthesia, your choice was hypnosis or whiskey.
Oh, boy.
So what would you choose if you were going under a knife?
Well, I you don't want to know. I might go for the whiskey. But I think the hypnosis is probably a better way of doing it, because you're putting yourself into a different state. So therefore, you're not able to witness the pain or the intrusion that you're having upon your body, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the idea?
Yeah. And what actually happens is your body is anesthetized.
Mm-hmm.
So some dentists have been trained. I've seen videos in the Children's Hospital up in Boston,
mm-hmm.
where there's one doctor. He's very skilled with children and working with kids. And what he does is he anesthetizes them with touch, and he can stitch them. And
There
was this doctor in Ireland years and years ago, back in the 30s, and he did not touch a kid unless he put them into a light state of hypnosis, setting bones, doing stitching up somebody's body, you know.
And he would do this by touching them?
Well, what happens is you're talking too,
mm-hmm.
but what you would give the suggestion. Okay, I'll give you the stages of hypnosis.
Okay.
The first thing that you do is you want to get somebody into the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
So you start with the first phase, which is relaxing them. And you can relax somebody with like a guided imagery. I like to use the breath. I like to have people inhale for a count of five, hold their breath for a count of five, and then slowly exhale. And what that does is it quiets the mind and brings them down into the center of their being. And then from there, I might guide somebody. You start at the feet, and you start teaching them and guiding them to relax their feet. And then, you know, warmth, you're feeling warm at your feet. And then it's going up your ankles and to your shins, your calves, to your knees. Totally relax. Your legs are totally relaxing. Very, very heavy, very deep, very, very, very relaxed. And this warmth, relaxing vibration is moving up your legs to your hips. And your hips all the way down to your feet, totally relaxed. And then you bring that up the torso. Every single cell in your body totally relaxed with this warm vibration that's moving through your body. Completely, completely relaxed. All the way up your torso to your shoulders. Every single organ completely and totally relaxed. And this warm, warm, warm vibration is moving from your shoulders all the way down your arms to the tips of your fingers. Completely and totally relaxed. Completely relaxed. Moving up to your neck and your throat. Circulating in your mind. Your mind is totally quiet. Over your scalp, your ears, your eyes, your face, your nose, totally, totally relaxed. And that would be the next stage.
Hmm.
How are you feeling?
Yeah. Oh, I got you. I got you for sure. Don't relax me too much because I do have to stay alert here.
You do have to still stay alert.
I do. Oh, I you know, it would be fun to try it sometime when we're not in this setting.
Right.
And then, you know, it would be, I mean, it's intriguing to me.
Yeah.
That this can actually work. Because, you know, as an obviously a layman on this, looking at it from the outside, all I see is what, you know, you'll see someone on TV or you'll see a stage production or whatever it is that someone's, you know, hypnotizing a member of the audience or whatever it may be. And is that real? Is that?
Oh my God, it is so much fun. I'm telling you.
I guess that answers that question.
I said I got interested in hypnosis when I lived in England. Every time I entered a hypnosis show, I was on the stage. Now, it takes somebody, a unique person. Stage hypnotists are looking for that unique person. So a person that would be called up on stage is somebody that can be hypnotized easily. They're willing to play along and they can follow directions.
Okay.
So I always fit that bill. And so I've been on stage in Scotland. I've been in stage at the university where I was going to in England. And then recently, this is like one of my most far out experiences. Every year we have a hypnosis convention up in Wakefield, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, of course, called up on stage. And the hypnotist was really kind of fun. Now, you have to stretch a little bit. If you can do this in real life on stage, if stage hypnotists can get you to do crazy, crazy things like quack like a chicken or like in my case, I'll explain what my story is. And then you do the calculation of what else could we possibly do. I studied Japanese when I was in, I think I was a freshman in college, somewhere in college, one semester.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know a lot, but I have a lot of friends that are Japanese, and I can feel what they're saying to me, even though I don't understand completely every word that they're talking about. I have a feel for the language. I have an understanding to some degree in my consciousness of Japanese. But I wouldn't be able to pull it out of my hat and converse with you in Japanese, but somewhere within my consciousness, I have access to it. So the hypnotist said, he woke me up and he said, "Oh, you're in big trouble. You're going to hear the siren and you're going to be pulled over for speeding. And when you get pulled over, you're going to be giving all of your answers to the officer in Japanese."
Oh, no.
So I was like, you know, because when you're on stage, there's part of you, the witness part, is watching and you're watching yourself. And then that's why you're like, I can't possibly be in hypnosis because I know what's going on. You are alert when you're in hypnosis. Like you would not crash into a tree riding your bike, even though you are in hypnosis. Your awareness is alert. You're alert. You're going to keep yourself
I'm
safe.
Hyper aware when
exactly.
I'm riding a bike. Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pulled over. You know, I hear the siren. So that's a post-hypnotic suggestion. He gives me the suggestion. When you hear the siren, you will be speaking in Japanese. Okay?
Oh, God.
So I hear the siren. And in my brain, in my mind, I was hearing English. But out of my mouth, I was listening to Japanese. And the story I was giving to the cop was, you just, you know, he's like, well, you know how fast you were going. And I'm answering him in Japanese. But my mind was saying it's English.
You knew what he was asking you.
I was having a conversation.
Except you were responding in Japanese. So you understood the conversation completely.
Yeah.
But you were speaking in Japanese. Tell me the outcome of this story. This has got to
be good. Isn't that hysterical?
Yeah.
So what I'm hoping to convey in this story, my intention is, if somewhere within my consciousness, in my universal mind, I had access to the ability to speak Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My conscious mind, which is the mind that we go about day-to-day life with, couldn't possibly access it. I couldn't sit down and consciously answer in Japanese to this man. It was something I could do while I was in hypnosis because I had greater access to my superconscious mind, they call it. It's where your soul connection is.
So you're opening like a door to another room in the brain.
Exactly. So you have greater access to your capability and your potential. And if you have a belief in other lifetimes, is there anything that we haven't done? Perhaps maybe live peacefully, but I mean, that's tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, is there anything that we haven't studied? Is there anything that we don't have access to? So that story, to me, is such a demonstration to how much are we not using of our capability. And if we accessed more of our capabilities, what would our world be like?
Yeah.
How would we evolve as humanity?
So what you're saying is there are things that are in our brains.
Our consciousness.
Our consciousness that we're not even aware of.
Yes.
But they can be brought out through hypnosis.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm fascinated. And I have to. I mean, you got so deep into that story. I what happened? I mean, you're speaking Japanese to a police officer. A police officer is talking to you in English. I'm sure at this point.
He was the hypnotist.
Oh, he was the hypnotist.
Yes, it was on stage.
Oh, it was on stage.
Yes,
okay.
Yes,
I'm thinking that you actually got pulled over somewhere.
No. It was
happened.
On a stage
I'm
show.
Sorry, I drifted.
I'm sorry. That
no,
was
no,
me,
it's
I
okay.
Think.
It's okay. But when, so he, it's so. Then what? How do you get out of that?
Out of the hypnotic state?
Yeah.
The hypnotist, stage shows are fun. If you ever have a chance to be on a stage show, it's a fun thing to do. Because the hypnotist will tell you, sleep, and snap their fingers like that, and you will become like a rag doll.
How?
Because it's a hypnotic suggestion. So when you're in hypnosis and somebody says that to you, sleep, you will go to sleep.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll give you another example.
Back up. So how do you know when you actually have someone in a hypnotic state?
Okay.
Is that a question? Good question.
That is an excellent question. So one of the things that we do... is we have test indicators. So when we're bringing somebody into a hypnotic state, guiding them into a state of hypnosis, one of the things I was taught to do is you could literally, you're feeling no pain at all, and I'll have somebody's hand, Like one of the things that is a really easy thing to do while they're in hypnosis and they're after their body's relaxing, and you bring them into a deeper state of hypnosis, a lot of hypnotists pretend and they tell the client that they're tying a balloon to their wrist. And you actually go through the motion of touching their wrist so that they can feel it. And then you'll give the suggestion of the balloon is so full of helium and it's getting lighter and lighter and rising higher and higher and higher into the air. And if they're in hypnosis, you'll start to see their arm lifting.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. So that's an indicator that they're in hypnosis.
Okay.
And they're at a deep enough state that they're able to take suggestions so that they can you can start using hypnosis therapeutically.
Okay. So what do you do with the person who is not going to be put into a hypnotic state?
Well, see, I mean, they need to have a willingness.
So they have to. They really have to be willing to go there.
They have to be willing.
Open-minded enough to go there.
Right. And, you know, some people come to a hypnotist because they want to stop smoking. And the first question is, what's your willingness? How willing are you? Many people will come because their spouse is sick of smelling them or whatever. If the person's like, oh, I'm willing, you know, I'm here, I'm willing. What you can do is when they're under hypnosis is you can actually, through hypnosis and asking them questions while they're in hypnosis, find out what their willingness is. And you can use a yardstick, you know, say before you is this yardstick. It goes from 1 to 36. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of ways that you can communicate with somebody when they're in hypnosis. You can say to them, let me know what number lights up. And they'll say 24. You know, so you'll tell them the yardstick represents your level of willingness to become a non-smoker. Mm-hmm. If the number is below 10, you have a low willingness. If it is above 25, you have a high level of willingness.
Okay.
One of the numbers will light up as an indicator of what level your willingness is. And they might say it's at a 15. And then you say, okay, how high can you raise it? Can you increase your level of willingness? And then they'll say yes or no. And if they can, they'll raise it as high as it can possibly go so that they can become non-smokers. Otherwise, they're going to sabotage. And you want to handle any sabotage so they're successful.
So have you treated people who are smokers and helped them to not be smokers?
That's not really my vibe. I work a lot with women who want to reduce their body weight and change the way that they're living, actually, in their bodies.
Okay.
My forte is with young people. I really love working with young people.
Yeah, I see something here, how would it help kids and families?
Yeah.
Is that more your kind of that your expertise?
Yeah, it's become that. And the reason is, there's a couple of reasons. I became very passionate about hypnosis when my oldest daughter was, I think she was about 15 months. She must have been in that ballpark. And I had the TV on for background noise. And my husband and I were sitting on the couch and my daughter was sitting on the floor and she was playing with her blocks. And we're having a conversation. We didn't think anything of having the TV on. Mm-hmm. That was in the early stages of being a parent and becoming aware of the influences on children. And this was so blatantly clear that I couldn't deny the influence of external forces on her development. So there was a cop show on, and the cops barge into the bar and yell with guns in hand, put your hands on your head and there she was in the middle of the floor with her hands on top of her head.
Really?
Yeah. And I said, huh, that's it for the TV. And we shut the TV off.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because children are in hypnosis 90 to 95% of their day.
Because when they go into that world where they're using their imagination,
exactly.
they're in the zone.
Right.
They're in that zone, the same zone I'm in when I'm out riding my bicycle.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
All right. All right.
So that was clue number one. Huh. Mm-hmm. This is an important moment to notice, to never forget, and to file away as part of my life journey. And I was a homeschooling mom too for a long, long, long time. And so I learned about learning and how kids learn and different learning channels and different learning styles, what works for one, what doesn't work for another. And I also have been a homebound tutor with District 8, which is the Ram Middle High School.
Mm-hmm.
And what I discovered is that a lot of kids are having difficulty in school because they don't know how to organize what they're learning. They don't know how to put, like, I explain to kids that are having difficulty with school that if you went into the library and all the books in the entire library were on the floor, would you be able to find the book you need?
Well, that would be a big, big fat no.
Right. But in a lot of kids' minds, there's no organization of their thought processing. So kids can study and they can memorize and they can learn for a quiz or a test, but they're not able to really integrate the body of knowledge that they're receiving in any concrete way to use it in day-to-day life.
Hmm.
So the CDs I was mentioning, they help kids organize their thinking. It's like the subconscious mind is constantly dealing with data. The subconscious mind knows how to organize everything you've ever seen, everything you've tasted, everything you've smelled. It has been able to process everything within itself. But the conscious mind, which is the way most kids are learning, is consciously, they're not able to organize the material very easily to retrieve it for a test. See what I'm saying?
I do, and I've got a couple of things I scratched down here because I'm curious. It seems like distractions are a real problem.
Yeah.
And that the TV being a distraction mm-hmm. is a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
The obviously all these gadgets that we're playing with all day long, those are a problem mm-hmm. because there are more distractions.
But it also puts them in a state of hypnosis.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a distraction as long, you know, depending on how it's being used. See, now this for a hypnotist, what's scary to me is, like the mind is a tool. It's for us to use. We are not to be used by our mind. It's our computer of life. But we have it the other way around. We think the mind is supreme, and we follow everything that's in it
okay.
without question.
Mm-hmm.
The mind is like our computer. It's our life computer. What you put in is what you're going to get out in the universe.
Sure.
Okay? So, yes, there are a lot of distractions. There's so much information that kids are being bombarded with, more and more and more and more and more. And to any parent listening, you will understand what this is doing to the mind of a child. It's like every single garment, every dirty diaper, every bottle, everything that kid has ever used from the moment it was born to the moment of the day you walk into their bedroom mm-hmm. and you say, who made this mess? Imagine that every dirty diaper, every used bottle, everything they've ever touched their entire lifetime mm-hmm. is in their bedroom. Would you be able to function?
No.
Would you be able to find clean clothes?
No.
Probably not.
No, no, it'd be very difficult.
Would you have gross stuff growing? Mold? Icky stuff?
So we have this problem in our society right now with ADD, ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be that there's so much distraction and overstimulation that that's what's causing that?
Well, this is my viewpoint on ADD and
okay.
ADHD.
Okay.
I became a homeschooling mom because if my son was in school, he would have been labeled ADD, ADHD at the age of two.
As I would have too.
But people that are diagnosed are often extremely fast in their ability to shift their attention, their full attention. Okay. So, and they're very, very smart. So my son, as many, many boys are, is very alert, very energetic, very alive. And like I said with my daughter, who put her hands on her head, my son, there was a moment where I heard, it was like the universe was saying, pay attention. So I said, okay, I'll pay attention. He was playing baseball. He was pitching. And he threw a ball, struck out this first batter. Then he threw another ball. The kid hits it. It comes right to him. He overshoots first base. The kid doesn't get out. And as a mom, I could see that his chin was shaking a little bit. And he was upset. But because he was on the mound, he composed himself, brought his attention right back to his task,
mm-hmm.
struck out the next batter. So you see what I'm saying? It's his mm-hmm. ability to shift his attention to the strike zone after an upset is pretty remarkable for somebody who would have been labeled ADD if he was in school.
Right.
The other thing, you know, and there were other things in that game that I was just awed by at how fast he was able to control his attention.
Mm-hmm.
So my philosophy is on ADD and ADHD is anybody can learn. There's a course called Resurfacing. It's the first section of the Avatar course. And it's all about attention. It's all about learning how to control your attention, disciplining your attention, putting your attention under your will. When your attention is exhausted, how to restore your attention so you could use it. If we don't get control of our attention, we are controlled by everybody. So in school, it's beneficial to have kids controlled.
Okay.
Because you're dealing with a lot of
otherwise
children.
Otherwise, you have chaos.
Exactly. So it's kind of, there's a, I don't think it's deliberate, but there's a little benefit to a school system to have kids that are not fully in control of their attention, who have weaker wills. Because mm-hmm. they're easy to control. And when you have a school full of children and you are taking on the job of educating them, you need to be able to be in control. But the problem is that now we have so much testing going on.
Mm.
And kids are not being taught, actually, how to be tested. So I recently was trained in hypnosis for successful test taking for this reason. When kids are stressed, anybody's stressed, you can't retrieve the information that you need.
No.
You can't do it.
No, I completely understand.
Yeah. And so in order for kids to be successful in the test taking process, they need to be able to quiet themselves so that they can retrieve what they've learned. Otherwise, it's unfair. They're being set up.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, I do. Well, I come from a long line of bad testers. I hate being tested.
Yeah.
I get very anxious about it. And I don't test well because of it. And I never have.
Yeah.
And I've always had a struggle with that. And, I mean, it comes right down to it goes all the way back to I failed my driver's license test. I knew how to drive a car. I knew all the rules. I knew all of it. I'd been driving a car since I was, my dad had me driving a car when I was, 13 years old. I knew all the rules of the road. I knew all of it. But test me? No. No, not good at all. I could physically do it, but I couldn't mentally do it. I couldn't put it together. So I've always had the struggle with testing, and it's driven me nuts. Maybe I should try hypnosis.
Well, about
how could hypnosis help something like that?
Well, I'll tell you an exact story about a boy who failed his driver's test 5 times, and his mom was driving him, commuting here to UConn. So the day before he was going to take another driving test, she asked if I would work with him. So he came to me, and within 30 minutes, I brought him to, like I was telling you about imprints. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you have an imprint, and an imprint is a belief that it's like, it would be like a scarecrow that's in your closet, like in your garden. It would be something that is there that is like not helpful at all. So, and it's a loop of itself. It's creating a reality that's sabotaging everything that you are working so hard to achieve. So I put him into hypnosis, guided him through, and then guided him to back in time to the moment that he received this inability and for him to explore it fully. So he could gain the wisdom from the experience and then let it go.
Hmm.
And he did it, and he passed his exam the next day.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And he went on to get like a master's and a PhD, and, he just flew.
Right.
But he was a freshman in college, and his mom was driving him to school.
Oh, my God. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is really crazy. So so hypnosis can help in many different ways then. You can use it for pain management. Mm-hmm. You can use it for concentration and knowledge.
Sports performance.
That's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
I know someone who is a very high-level athlete who is like well-known ADHD crazy guy. I mean, he's all over the place. He's like a ping pong ball bouncing all over the room.
But is his full attention going where he's going?
He is a great bike racer, like one of the best in the country. And the reason, he said, is because of his ADHD, because ADHD people tend to become very hyper-focused.
Mm-hmm.
And they use that to their advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So when they go into their zone,
mm-hmm.
their hypnosis, right?
Yeah.
Then they perform exceptionally well. So boy, it would be interesting to see how it relates to sports. I think that might be another subject for another day. I think we could probably cover a lot there.
I love sports hypnosis. I was certified in sports hypnosis. And
really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I'm just I'm thinking of all the different things you can do with this. So what
people
are your
birth with hypnosis too?
What's that?
Hypnobirthing.
Hypnobirthing.
Women have babies with hypnosis
without using any kind of pain relief.
Correct.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow.
And
wow,
they
wow,
use
wow.
like I was telling you about the dentist and the doctor that stitch.
Mm-hmm.
It's a suggestion that you're given the body, and I also was one of my first trainings was in emergency hypnosis,
okay.
And I have this amazing instructor. His name's Don Motten, and he was a forensic. He was in the. Do we have time for this story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, we still have another 10 minutes to go here.
Okay,
so good. We're real good.
So So anyhow, Don, he's like one of the most far out people I've ever met. He's just so incredible. And he was in Korea and he was at a hypnosis program, and he had this attitude, like many people when they're in hypnosis. I wasn't hypnotized because, you know, he didn't think he was.
Right.
So the hypnotist is like this Korean guy, and he goes, really? And he goes, oh, yeah, I wasn't hypnotized. So he goes, okay, let's do it again. So he hypnotized him, stuck this needle through his arm.
Mm-hmm.
Needle.
Okay.
Speared him.
Like right through the skin.
Right through the entire arm.
Okay.
Okay. Woke him up so that he would see it. He didn't feel anything. And he's like, oh, my God, I guess I was hypnotized.
So now that he's not hypnotized, now that he's, you know, they snapped him out of it and he sees the needle, does he feel the pain?
No, he doesn't feel the pain because they anesthetized him.
Okay.
So they take the needle out and he comes back to America and he becomes a cop. But he has this fascination with hypnosis now. It's like, wow. So he learned and he studied everything he could possibly learn. And he, as a cop, he was often the first responder. So what he did was he utilized his hypnosis understanding as a first responder. So he would go to an accident and a victim would be bleeding profusely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I was explaining to you, we're in a natural state of hypnosis quite a bit during our day. When you're in shock, you're in a hypnotic state.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He knew it.
Yep.
So he said, I can help you. Will you do everything I say? You need that agreement. If they say yes, the subconscious mind regulates the physiology. So it regulates the breathing. It regulates your ability to repair your body. It regulates your heart rate. It regulates your flow of blood. It regulates everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's what the subconscious mind is what keeps your heart beating. We
right,
don't think about beating your heart.
You're not thinking about that. You're
exactly.
Not thinking about any of that. These are just functions that are happening within your body.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So what he would do is he would get the, yes, I will do whatever you say. A nod or a yes or some sort of an acknowledgement. He would say, great, you are bleeding way too much. I want you to stop the bleeding. And the bleeding would stop.
No.
Yes. Your heart is beating way too fast. I want you to slow it down. And their body would respond.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. But the guy was in shock. The victim.
The victim.
The victim was in shock.
Yeah. They're in crisis.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, they certainly are. I mean, I've been around people that have gone into shock for various reasons, falling off their bicycles, et cetera. So I've seen it before. Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
And when they are there, you need to just take control of the situation and get them to accept the control.
You're giving their subconscious mind suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
So you right there, even though it's the client's subconscious mind,
mm-hmm.
you're facilitating that client to that patient, that victim, to you're assisting them in assisting their body by communicating with their subconscious mind.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the same guy, years later, has a stroke. So he's not a really old man. You know, he's 40s, late 40s maybe, has a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors essentially say to him, you're going to spend the rest of your life, you know, in a wheelchair. And he, being a hypnotist who does self-hypnosis twice a day, thinks to himself because he couldn't speak, yeah, watch me. So while he was lying in his hospital bed for 30 days, he started to figure out how to reprogram his mind. So the parts of his body, his brain, that were dead, mm-hmm. he rewired to parts of his brain that he wasn't using every day so that he was able to regain his ability to walk. He was able to regain his ability to talk. And he he's back now in the teaching circuit, and you know, he actually came to Hartford and did a workshop for local hypnotists on how to help people with brain injuries, stroke victims, learn to rewire their own brain.
Wow. Wow, that's fascinating.
And the same guy, oh my God, this guy is like my most interesting teacher. I have a video of him where he, okay, so this guy had stiffened his body like a board, and they have this on video, and he went through, like, he stiffened, like I was telling you earlier about relaxing your body, but what he did was he stiffened his legs, he stiffened his arms, he had four big men on either side of him to catch him. So he finally counted to three, and when he counted to three, he stiffened his torso and his spine, and he, like a piece of wood, fell back into their arms. They lifted him like he was a piece of plywood and put him on two sawhorses, like he was stiff as a board.
Really?
Yeah. And this particular workshop, there were doctors in there because he was demonstrating the power of hypnosis in the body.
Wow. Wow. Sounds like you've learned a lot from all
this. Yeah, I've been
doing
this for a while.
And how long have you been doing this?
I got interested in 1982.
Wow. So it's been quite
a while.
It's
been a while, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And this is your primary, I obviously, you know, it looks like you're making CDs of different subjects that are all related towards the hypnosis.
Yep.
So these are to help people through. Do you have a website or something that you can direct people to?
I do. It's EagleMoonRaise.com.
Okay.
Yeah. And my passion is making uniquely your customized subliminal programs because it's the kids' music that they'll normally listen to, because kids are programmed, they're plugged in all the time to their music. So what I do is I put their subliminal hypnosis program underneath the music, which gives them a message from their highest wisdom about their life and what they're doing in life and where they're going, and then Reiki energy that restores balance and harmony to their mind, their body, and their spirit, and their energetic system, and then a series of imprint removals that they pick up in life. And all of that's mixed beneath the music. So all they hear is their music. But all that other magic is going on.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And there's a track for students that help them organize their whatever it is they're learning in school and out of school. And I also have specialized tracks that go under the music for athletes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great. That's great. So just so we can just kind of wrap this thing up, I am speaking with Eagle Moon Raise. I am here on the Radio Naturopath Show from sitting in for Dr. Fran Storch. And we're just getting like an amazing education on hypnosis today. Thank you so much for coming.
You're welcome.
This is really great. Again, I want to make sure that we direct people towards your website. So if anybody wants to know more about this, they will go to
EagleMoonRaise, RAES.com.
RAES.com. Mm-hmm. All right. And then you can learn a little bit more about what it is that you do. And this is fascinating.
Thank you. Really
fascinating. It's great. I thank you so much for being on and having the patience to deal with me today because Dr. Storch is not here. So anyway, this is Ron sitting in for Dr. Fran Storch. It's 91.7 WHUS Storrs, Connecticut, and you are listening to the Radio Naturopath.